listening to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. Thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting Faith and Family. You can find out more about them on our website, kfuo.org. Look for the sponsor section. There you can find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin. Joining me by phone today, Roland Moore, to share his veteran story. Roland, welcome.
Thank you.
Glad to have you with us today. Roland, tell me a little bit about yourself and where you grew up, and we'll get to what you do today, but tell me about your story of where you grew up and the military, those veterans who have affected you.
Well, thank you. I was born in Okinawa. My father was a command sergeant major in the Army. My mother is from Germany, so grew up in a rather international household. Lots of kids were like me, with a foreign mom of some sort. Could have been German or English or French, Japanese, Philippine, Korean. I mean, we were all a mix on the posts and bases where we were. So born in Okinawa, lived in Germany as well. It's also in Fort Polk, Louisiana. And my father retired as command sergeant major at Fort Bliss, which is right outside of El Paso, Texas. So had the privilege of being able to see a lot of different places, and also had the privilege of traveling all over, mostly Europe, and seeing a great deal of that continent and all the history there, especially the land of Luther. So had great privilege in being able to be a part of that military family.
And so that certainly influenced, I'm sure, and shaped your perspective of those who have served and who are now veterans. I'm sure that's shaped you. Tell me about the career and that the Lord has brought you into, what you studied and the ways that you serve others now.
Thank you. I'm a physical therapist. I live in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Have been a physical therapist for more than 26 years. Very much enjoy this as a career. It's another thing where I think, looking back upon it all, the Lord definitely brought me His way, despite my own stubbornness. I was hit by a car on a bicycle in 1982, went through physical therapy, and really started to enjoy the recovery. It was a difficult recovery, not enjoying the painful part of it, having to push through and get stronger and try and stabilize everything that had gotten injured in that accident, but then started to really enjoy the people I was working with, the people I was privileged to have as patients and learn from them. And many of them were veterans. I was an affiliate at the Veterans Administration Medical Center here in Albuquerque, New Mexico, where I live now, and really had a great experience with so many people, even those, and I even say this to people now, I still really love those people who are cantankerous, they're tough to deal with, but they are God's children too. Many of them are so devoted to the Lord, and they're just having a difficult time. Their family members are really trying to work with them. And it's just an absolute pleasure and privilege to be around so many wonderful people, my colleagues and my patients. So I'm grateful to the Lord for putting me into this career as a physical therapist.
And tell me about your congregation and the opportunities. We'll get to your specific story here in just a moment, but
sure.
Tell me about, you know, why it's important for you to be connected to the body of Christ and to be a witness to others.
Oh, it absolutely drives me in every way possible. So many of my convictions are reinforced by my brothers and sisters in Christ, especially those at my church, Emmanuel Lutheran Church here in Albuquerque, New Mexico. So many wonderful people have really helped me through difficult times. When my father died back in 2001, you know, it's a very hard thing to watch someone who you grew up with, you know, whether it's your parent or anyone else who really inspired you and gave you so much support when they struggled with such a difficult time, and you were able to have those people in your congregation really support you, pray for you, give you inspiration, and sometimes just listen to your difficulty, your struggle, and then just hold your hand and know that the Holy Spirit is there with them and with you through all that. That outreach that you have from them and that you give to them, it's priceless. It's beyond any measure that we can put any earthly value on.
So that brings us up to your story. You mentioned earlier, as a physical therapist, you work with veterans quite frequently.
Yes, sir.
And tell me about there was one veteran that you met. What is a typical conversation like with some of the veterans that you meet in your field?
Well, the first thing that I do, you know, in home care physical therapy when I walk in is I look at their surroundings. I look at their home, and I try to get a feel for this person. Of course, I get information that pertains to them with their diagnoses and what their medical history is, but that's such a fraction of what you really do in trying to reach out to people like this. So initially, I look around and try and see if they were Army or Navy, Air Force, Marines, Coast Guard, whatever service they were in, specifically thank them for their service and their devotion, and try to get to know them as a person, what kind of family they have, where they've lived, what they've done, whether they made the service a career, whether it was just time that they spent either during the war or peacetime, trying to get to know all that, but specifically telling them that I appreciate so much the sacrifice that they made in service to our country. And it is such a privilege to be around so many of these brave men and women that it's not that I try to give them an extra measure, because we treat all people who are in our care the same way, but it's a recognition to them specifically for that service.
Do you ever find that that sometimes your clients you know, struggle and may open up and share about things just beyond what they're facing in terms of their physical abilities that are being addressed by physical therapy?
Well, many of them do. And that's where you have to be a lot more than a technician to be able to reach out to them. Most anyone can have the education that I have and give them exercises and work with them on gait training and balance. But that oftentimes is just a fraction also. It's reaching out to them as that fellow believer, as that person who really wants to help them beyond what just is there physically. There may be a lot of emotional issues underneath there. There may be a lot of spiritual issues. And I have seen that many times. They want to open up to you, yet maybe through difficulties with their families or other people around them, they just feel like they can't. And when you offer that hand, when you offer that ear to listen to them, they open up and they find that connection through the Holy Spirit and know that you're there to be someone who can reach out more than just giving them that physical strength or that ability to walk from point A to point B more safely. That's more of a reward to me than being able to say, well, you know, look, Mr. Smith, you can now get in and out of that chair independently and walk outside and get in your car with your son who's going to drive you to an appointment. Those are all important things, but that's just a fraction of the job that I found myself doing. I'd rather incorporate that as well, but that reaching out and letting them know that they're more than just being able to do that, that they are God's child, that they're a forgiven sinner like me, because that's what I am. I'm a forgiven sinner. And that's what I want to convey to them, that I'm just like them in that regard.
Tell me about that that one veteran who'd made such an impact on you, and you had an opportunity to learn more about him and share with him.
Thank you for allowing me to do that. That gentleman, his name was James Wissing, lived here in Albuquerque. He was a Korean War veteran, 45th Infantry during the Korean War, saw major, major action. He was a machine gunner, and I went to see him. He had a lot of medical issues going on. He was struggling just to breathe. He was on supplemental oxygen. He was living with his daughter and her family, who gave him great care, wonderful, wonderful, compassionate people. But he was struggling not just physically, and I could tell that when I was talking to him. And I thanked him for his service, and he shook his head, shook his head back and forth like a no. And I said, "No, sir, thank you for your service. My father was a World War II Korean and Vietnam War veteran, and I can only imagine what you went through." And he shook his head again, which kind of confused me. And I said, "No, sir, from the bottom of my heart, I really do thank you." And he looked right at me. And, boy, this is hard for me to say because it's still very emotional. He said, "No, I'm going to hell." And it was very hard for me to hear that, because this man was very, very kind and polite. And so I sat down and got closer to him so I could make sure that he could hear me and that I could hear him, because he struggled to get words out completely due to his breathing problems. And I said, "Can you please tell me what you mean by that, sir?" And he said, "Well, I was a machine gunner during the Korean War, and I killed thousands of people." And I said, "Yes, sir, I'm aware of what your situation was. I don't know specifically what that feels like. I've never been in combat. But there is a difference between murdering and killing." And I explained to him those original Hebrew texts, which were in Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, that explained the difference between murder and killing, and especially in his situation, he was protecting the lives of his fellow soldiers and also those of the Korean people who were, when their villages were overrun and taken by North Korean and Chinese forces, they often killed so many, if not the entire village, of innocent people. So I explained to him that protecting the lives of innocents and the taking of life during war is not murder. And looking at the change in his face and body after I told him that, it was as if someone else was sitting there now. It was a profound thing. I'm trying to put this into words, but I don't know if I'm really doing that any justice. And also, for me, being a physical therapist, everything is very technical in the way that we approach things. And that was my training in doing research and in presenting information. And it was as if, and I know it was, that someone else took over what I was saying. It was almost as if I was sitting there watching this happen, with someone explaining it so well. And I believe to this day that the Holy Spirit was right there giving me those words to say to this gentleman. And I can only say thank you to the Lord for being able to do that through me, because that gentleman had a very different experience in his life from that moment on. It was overwhelming. So I left that day after working with him and explaining all that to him. And the next appointment, which was standard for me, you make these appointments on a once or twice a week basis to try and help people have some continuity and develop improvements in their strength and abilities. I parked my car, got out, walked up the driveway, and as I was driving up, I could hear the door moving and the door handle moving. And before I got to the door, it opened, and the gentleman's daughter, who was his main caregiver, stopped me and said, "I need to talk to you before you go in to see him." And a part of me thought, maybe I said something that didn't sit well with her or the family, and maybe this is going to result in me getting fired. I don't know. Some people and some companies don't take it all that well when you witness, but I wasn't going to let that stop me, and I never will. And instead of that, she just said, "My father is a religious man, and you spoke to him about the Lord last time you were here, didn't you?" And I said, "I did." And she said, "I just want you to know that what you said to him and what you explained to him made him a very different man. In my whole time that I've known him, I never saw his expression to be that way. And he told me that he was ready to go to heaven." And it was overwhelming for me at that very moment. And she gave me a hug and said, "Please go and work with my father some more. I appreciate it very much." And again, it was inspirational and it was touching. Like right now, I'm still having a little bit of trouble talking about it. And I'm not really known for being an overly emotional person, but as a physical therapist, you kind of can't let that get in your way. You have to be kind of the tough guy at times. So I went in and worked with him some more. And every time I told him, "Thank you for your service. God bless you. I hope you have a great day," or "I pray that you have a great weekend," he was so receptive to it, so thankful. And in his eyes and in his face and in his whole body manner, he was a different person at that point, and I could tell it. Even I could tell it. And it was an experience I can't thank the Lord enough for.
Simply sharing with him that there is grace, that one, that he was given a vocation and to carry that out, and two, that there's grace, there's forgiveness in Christ Jesus, and that he has this hope of life eternal, hope of life in heaven, and to open his eyes to that, as you said, as the Holy Spirit worked in that conversation so that he might hear that truth.
Yes, sir, absolutely. And, you know, we had subsequent conversations, and I explained to him that that even had he not been commanded the way that he was, that Christ died for our sins, and that he rose again so that we could be with him, and that it's our faith, not what we do, that brings us closer to him and that gives us that grace and that eternal life with him. And those subsequent conversations were so moving to both he and myself that, you know, this, I think I could live to be 100 years old and I'll never forget all the details and the look on his face and sitting there with him, all the details of the room that he was in. I don't think I'll forget any portion of that. The Lord is great, and he always is, and he always has been. And it is by his grace, like in Romans 3:24, that we all fall short. We all are sinners, but we're forgiven by grace through faith. And that is the entire message that he got. And he got it not because of me, but because of that message of Christ and that gift that Christ was able to bestow upon him. It's just still very, very emotional and moving to me. I'll always be forever grateful that Mr. Wissing was there. And I think it was as much moving in an act of grace upon me as it was upon him.
And so where did you obviously learned from that experience and were deeply moved by it. Where did it go from there?
I kept working with him, and despite all the efforts of the medical team, he was transferred to hospice care as his physical condition deteriorated. And eventually, he went to be with the Lord in September of this year, about a month ago. And he had a peace about him. And he was so kind and gentle to everyone around him. And taking that message that grace was what saved him and not his works, not anybody's works, that's where he took it. That's where I'm continuing to take that experience in what I do. I never thought I would be the person who would be able to do this, but the Lord calls us. He takes those of us who, I have a million warts on me, and he still sees me as unscathed. It's amazing.
Why do you think it's important for us to be receptive to and open to the idea that the Lord would use us as witnesses in whatever our vocation may be? You mentioned earlier that sometimes our employers might not be too fond of us being witnesses in what we do, but that doesn't hinder you from being a witness in however you're given to serve.
That's absolutely true. And what I think we have to look at in our daily lives is we are given great freedom. And the freedom that we're given to us is not by or through a government. It's by and through the Lord himself. And I believe that to gain that freedom in our hearts, the ultimate measure of our freedom is our freedom to express that the Lord is the giver of life, that he is the ultimate giver of life, that we are to spend eternity with him. We are all eternal. What we have to realize is, do we want to spend eternity with him, or do we want to spend eternity separated from him? I don't deserve to be with him. I'm a fallen man, but through his grace, he's given me the ability to be with him, and I want everyone to know that. There are so many people out there like this gentleman who, for years and years, in his case, decades, 60 years, were sitting there walking through life, suffering, thinking that they were unforgiven, that they were unworthy of anything except eternal damnation. And the Lord chose me, and in my eyes, an unworthy person, but not in his. We're told that he sees us through the rose-colored, blood-stained glasses through the blood of Jesus Christ, his son. And I believe that that's where we have to go, where he calls us in whatever vocation, whether that's like me, a physical therapist or a nurse or a teacher. All of us have that ability in us, and he calls us in different ways. I'm certainly not the stature of someone like Paul, who was extremely well educated. I'm not that person. But we all have abilities in the calling in us. And when those opportunities are there, I believe that despite what the ramification may be in this secular world, I do believe that we have to reach out and make that stand.
Roland, I appreciate your time today sharing this great story of how, in your vocation as a physical therapist, you were able to share that comfort and good news of Jesus with one who was so troubled and needed to hear that good news, that he might find joy of hope of life eternal in Jesus.
Thank you so much, Andy, and God bless you in your ministry. I'm just so grateful that there are so many other voices who are out there like you, and especially you, for reaching out and allowing me the honor of describing what I went through with this gentleman. Again, from the bottom of my heart, thank you and God bless you.